I'm glad that you have joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program, and I want to ask the question this morning, what kind of a heart do you have? What kind of a heart do you have? We hear a lot today about the need to eat correctly and properly and exercise in order to have healthy hearts. I think all of us could do better at that. Heart disease is one of the top killers in our land today. The medical field will often focus a great deal of attention on the conditions of one's heart. But what about your spiritual heart? What I call the Bible heart. What kind of a heart do you have? The Bible refers to the heart of man quite often. Special attention is frequently given to the condition of one's heart and how it ought to be and how we ought to take care of it. A lot of times in life, someone will say, I listened to my heart instead of my head. This implies that there's a difference between rationality and emotion. While each idea may be different, they both originate from the same source, the mind or the heart. In the Bible, there is a physical heart inside of man, and there is a spiritual heart or mind. The Bible uses the word heart to describe everything that a man is or will ever be. It's traced to your heart. The Old Testament word heart sometimes is defined as the feelings, the will, the intellect, the center of anything. A good example of this, if you turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, with regard to the wicked people in the days of Noah that God destroyed in the flood, Genesis 6 verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This verse gives us some insight to the source of what the problem was. All of the problems in that society there and today proceed from a man's heart. In other words, our thinking, our mind. The word heart that is frequently found in the New Testament comes from the Greek word cardia, the English word cardiac, and cardio comes from this word. The physical heart inside of us gives us our life. It's an organ that pumps the blood. Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Without a healthy heart pump, life's blood that is in us is not going to be carried all throughout the body, and eventually it leads to death. When the heart stops, a person dies. And it is one of the most important parts of our body. There are some things that you can live without, but you can't live without a heart. Equally, you cannot live without a proper spiritual heart. And so I want us to talk this morning and ask the question, what kind of spiritual heart do you have? We are made in God's image, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And it's our spiritual heart, our mind, our will, our emotion, our thinking, our intellect, our conscience that makes us like God. And it controls every aspect of who we are. There's a lot of attention placed in the New Testament, as we're going to see here in a minute, on our heart. It involves our desires and affections, our perceptions, our thoughts, our understanding, our reasoning, our intentions, our purpose, our will, our faith and belief in something. It all comes from the heart, our mind, our thinking. Every element that is important to a right relationship with God is found in your spiritual heart, friend. Sometimes you might hear the statement, "You are what you eat." And it applies to the importance of good nutrition and good eating habits. Well, in the same way, you are what you think. We need to have good spiritual nutrition and good spiritual eating habits because it's going to lead to what kind of a person we are, good or bad. My mind, my heart controls my actions, and my actions are going to be weighed and judged by God one day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." You can treasure good things or you can treasure evil things in your heart, and out of that leads to actions. On another occasion, Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18 through 19, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth, your words, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." On that occasion, the Jewish Pharisees were concerned that Jesus did not wash his hands, outward cleansing, and Jesus said, "No, what's important is inward cleansing, what's in your heart, not what's on your hands." And things that are in a person's heart can lead to terrible, terrible actions. I would guess one of the most terrible of all actions would be to murder someone or to kill someone. And it comes from a heart. Jesus said there in Matthew 15, murder. The well-known story in Acts chapter 7 of Stephen, the first recorded martyr. He had been preaching the gospel. And in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And a few verses later, they rushed with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. Their heart led to that murder of that innocent gospel preacher. So I'm going to talk this morning on the program about some hearts that you can have, and you decide which one you want. You decide what kind of a heart you're going to have. I want to talk about some bad hearts, some evil hearts, and I want to talk about some good hearts. First of all, I want to talk about a dark heart. One that does not want the truth and the light of God's word. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, when Paul is talking about the Gentile world, he says that because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Notice that you can know God. But neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When a person chooses not to know God, in that same chapter, Paul talks about how they refuse to have God in their knowledge. When a person refuses God and forgets God and follows his own imagination and his own darkened heart that is not enlightened by the truth of God's word leads him in a wrong direction, it's going to cause all kinds of problems in his life. It reminds me of Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Darkened heart. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, a similar situation, a similar context of the Gentile world around him, darkened in their understanding. Ephesians 4:19, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that in them is, because of the hardening of their hearts. Let's talk about another heart that goes along with this, a dark heart and a hardened heart. This is a heart that refuses to learn the truth of God's word and come to God's word. This is a heart that is in rebellion to God's word. It's hardened. Being past feeling, these people gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Hard. You know, a lot of times a living object, animal, plant, human being, when it's living, it's soft and pliable. There's life in it. There's moisture in it. But when something dies, animal, plant, man, it gets hard and stiff and a hardened heart. There's no life in there. There's no good in there. And someone is in rebellion. I resist God. I don't want his word. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 19, when Jesus was talking about putting away a spouse or divorce for every cause, and the Jews bring up Deuteronomy 24, Jesus said, "For the hardness of your heart did Moses command these things." For the hardness of your heart. Do you have a darkened heart? The only thing that informs you is just the worldly ways around you. And you don't want the light in your heart of God's truth and the Bible. Do you have a hardened heart? A darkened heart? So many people do. And it leads them to engage in all kinds of things that hurt themselves and hurt others around them. Another evil kind of heart is exhibited in the new Christian, Simon the Sorcerer. Even a new Christian can have a heart that's not right if you're not careful. The devil will go after even a new Christian. In Acts chapter 8, when Simon wanted to buy the gift of God and the ability to lay on hands and give the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, he was told that that was not for him. Peter said to him, Acts 8:20, "Your silver perish with you because you thought to obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." Your thinking and what you want, your desire. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of your heart shall be forgiven thee, for you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Notice how many times the word heart comes up there. Your heart is not right. And your heart needs to be forgiven. Simon was told to repent because the thoughts of his heart were wicked and evil. A similar situation is back in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" We're talking about a corrupt heart. It's a heart that is governed by what we think and feel, and it's what the devil wants us to do. A lot of times today, friends, and I'm just going to be blunt about this, there are so many things that people want in their lives, and it sounds like on the front end that it's a good thing. I'm just for choice. I'm for freedom. I'm for personal rights. I'm for love. Things like that. And I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about sexual immorality. It is simply coming from a heart that is corrupt. It's not about choice and freedom and rights and love. It's about evil thinking. And that's just the truth of the matter. Back in Matthew chapter 15 that I quoted earlier, Jesus said, one of the things that proceeds out of the heart that is evil is fornication. That's all sexual immorality. And Jude, in the little book of Jude, ties the word fornication to homosexuality. Back in Genesis 19, the homosexuals that were there with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Fornication, strange flesh, homosexuality. Jesus said it comes from an evil heart. It's not about love and rights and freedom and choice. It's about, I have an evil, corrupt thought in my heart. And I realize that's not popular. I realize I'm not going to gain any points with that, but it's the Bible truth. And so a lot of times what you see in the media and on television and various programs and even government laws that are passed, it's people who have corrupt hearts. And they have closed their eyes and their ears to the truth of God's word. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about a people's heart, verse 15, that is grown thick. Their eyes are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Jesus wants people to be spiritually healed, but we've got to turn our heart to His Word. We cannot say, my heart is thick and closed. It needs to be open. Another heart that is not good is a hypocritical heart. Jesus, in Matthew 15, where we were earlier, condemns the Pharisees. This people draws near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. On the outside, they look religious, but they're not. Many today will do and say that which will bring favor to them or to accomplish some personal goal, but their heart is far away from truly serving God. They appear on the outside to be religious, but on the inside, they're truly not serving God. You can have a hypocritical heart. As I said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, you can have a dead or deaf heart. You can have a heart or a mind that is closed and inactive. The reference here in Matthew 13 is not to the physical deafness or the lack of intelligence, but refers to the unwillingness of a person to hear the words of the gospel. A person will never obey or live by that which he does not understand and want to come into his heart. And a person will never understand if he will not listen and open up his heart to the truth of God's word. A closed mind or a closed heart, it will not penetrate that. And so even Paul talks about this hardened conscience, like seared with a hot iron. It's dead. If you take a hot iron like a brand and put it on your skin like the cowboy does with the cattle, that area that's burnt is going to die. It's going to get hard. It's not going to have feeling in it because those nerves are dead. And Paul talks about a conscience branded with a hot iron. That's a heart, that's a mind, that's a conscience that doesn't feel anymore, and it will not let truth in. So friends, we don't need a dark heart. We don't need a hardened heart. We don't need a corrupt heart. We don't need a hypocritical heart. We don't need a deaf or dead heart. What we need is a good heart, a good and honest heart. Let's start with that. In Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about how the word of God can fall on different kinds of hearts, and it will flourish, it will grow, it will produce good if it falls on the good and honest heart. Luke 8:15. The seed that fell on the good ground, these are such as have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. You've got to hear it, you've got to hold on to it, and it will bring forth fruit. But Jesus says good and honest. What is that? Good and honest. Someone who's willing to be open to the truth. This is the very word of God, and I accept it. There's evidence for God. There's evidence for Jesus being the Son of God. There's evidence for the Bible being the word of God. And I'm just going to be honest and accept that evidence. I'm not going to close my heart to the truth. So first of all, I think at a foundational level, we need a good and honest heart. Just someone who's going to be honest with what God's word says. Honest with my own sin. Honest with the fact that I need to change. Honest that I can't save myself. I need to be honest that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I need to be honest that when the Bible tells me that I need to do something, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, to repent of my sins and be baptized for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38. I just need to be honest and do that. So many people, when they hear these kind of things, they just close down. Some of them ignore it. Some of them start making excuses as to why you don't need to do any of that. They have all these different defense mechanisms that they put up, rather than just being open and honest about the truth of what's going on. Another kind of heart that we need, I might call it a studious heart. Our mind, our heart, should want to learn God's will and God's way. God draws us to Him through teaching, John 6:44 and 45. In Proverbs 3 and verse 1, this is one of many, many proverbs that speak roughly the same thing, where our heart needs to be keeping the commandments of God. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. I need to be someone who wants to learn the word of God. Just in this parable of the sower in Luke 8, we hear the word of God. I need to be studious. I need to read my Bible. I need to hear Scripture. I need to read Scripture. And I need to be someone who wants to learn and grow, a heart that wants to keep and hear the commandments of God. Are you studious? We will study all kinds of things. We'll study how to figure out our phone. We get a new iPhone and it's been updated, and the software has been updated, and the hardware has been updated, and stuff isn't where it used to be. And instead of a button on the bottom, you got to slide this up and slide that over. And this particular feature is no longer available, but you got to do something else to get the same thing. We'll sit there and we'll study that until we figure that out, because we want to use our phone. But more importantly, God's word, do we study it? And then we need a penitent heart. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? When a person will let down the barrier of stubborn pride and refusal, and they'll listen to the truth and be open and honest and seek the truth and accept the truth, they will want to make a change. Without a tender heart and a tender mind, Josiah was someone who was known for a tender heart. We could add that in here, a penitent heart. In the Old Testament, we read about, in Isaiah and other places, we read about a broken and contrite heart. We read about that in the Psalms. A broken and contrite heart, a penitent heart, a tender heart. This is someone who is willing to admit that, hey, I'm wrong and I need to make a change. And I admit that I've sinned. What must I do? What a great heart. This is the heart that is tender and recognizes sin and feels remorse and is repulsed by the sin that they've committed, and they want to obey the word and the will of God. Give me a humble and contrite heart. Lord, you tell me what I need to do to be saved. And it's not what the pastor says and the reverend and the priest and all of that. It's what the word of God says. And then last of all, after I've obeyed the gospel, I need a committed heart. In Acts chapter 11, when those disciples who were called Christians first at Antioch, when they obeyed the gospel, when Barnabas came and found them, this new church, he came and had seen the grace of God. He was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He encouraged them to live a committed Christian life. It's only the committed heart that wants to obey God and that will continue to obey God. To continue to serve God, that will occupy the minds of the Christian. To put God first, to love God with everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about Christians who were completely committed. With purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, those new Christians, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This is a heart that is focused on serving God, sincere and single and focused and committed. Friends, what kind of a heart do you have? I hope you have a healthy physical heart. And if not, we have physicians here in town that can help us with that. But Jesus, the great physician, helps us with our spiritual heart. Will you hear the gospel today? Believe it? Confess that Jesus is the Christ? Will you repent of your sins? Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you live a faithful Christian life? And as a child of God, if your heart has gone astray in some way, will you come back and have that committed heart? What kind of a heart do you have? It will determine where you spend your eternal destiny. If I can study with you, if we can sit down with the Word of God so that you can have that good and honest heart and a clean heart, having been forgiven of sins, let's do that. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.